Jim, come to you live, and now we have a candidate. I know this is something new, but this is our last candidate before the primary election tomorrow in the state of Maryland, to include Frederick County. And that is Craig Giagrande, or Grande, and he is running for District Senate 3, right?
Am I right? That's right.
Am I saying it right?
Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Welcome. Yep. Coming in. Used to be known as Downtown Craig, but we know who you are, really. All right, this is your first chance getting into politics. How's it been?
It's been good. It's been pretty much what we expected, a lot of hard work. I'm a businessman in the county here, so we're kind of used to that. But it's a different type of industry, isn't it?
I know
a certain industry, and so you really, I don't think there's any substitute for immersion, mm-hmm. really getting into it and getting fully involved, solving problems as you go, and it's been a good experience. I enjoy it, my wife enjoys it, and
well, it's most important that you. I told somebody who's running, a good friend of mine who's running for an office, I said, when it's not fun, get out. It's a tough game.
That's right.
Now, one of the questions that we ask right off, and Frank gave me this question, is what will distinguish you, Craig Giagrande, from your opponent in the primary? What is the difference?
Well, I think having a small business background like I have, for those that don't know, I'm a small business owner with my brother. In the county and around the county for the last 27 years. And that comes with a good amount of responsibility. You have to get your point across. You have to get along with people, dealing with different groups of people. In my business, I deal with, raise capital, deal with landlords, buy properties if you can. If not, you rent it. So my business model is actually, even though I'm a franchisee, it's actually very, very involved on the business end. And I think some of that lends over into politics, or into state politics for sure. Budgeting, forecasting, the idea of stretching the precious commodity tax dollars.
Sure.
You got to help people, but I think you got to watch the numbers at the same time. Because if you don't, you hit a blip in the road, and some politicians want to pull the ripcord and raise taxes. And that's not what I'm about. I really think proper forecasting, proper budgeting, I think that goes a long way. Quite frankly, just to segue a little bit, people ask, well, why'd you get into it?
Yeah,
why'd and, you get into and it? The two words would be, the two people pretty much would be Governor O'Malley and Senator Young, to be quite honest with you. There was a lot of tax increases going back about 6-8 years ago.
Right.
And I thought that they were very averse to regrouping, rebudgeting, reforecasting, maybe making some hard decisions, possibly cutting back a bit, trimming some things, austere times call for austere measures sometimes. Sure. And went to talk to the senator about that a little bit, and very affable fellow, but I could see right away we had a totally different set of opinions about politics, economics, most things, quite frankly.
Right.
And that was okay, and then followed the 2014 election and then decided to get more involved.
Very good.
Yeah.
You will be going into, should you be fortunate enough to be elected, and you go down to Annapolis, you're into a Senate that is controlled by Democrats. How will you, do you plan, how has it been with you being able to work across the aisle, so to speak?
So, like anything else, I think, it'll be contentious at times, but I think there's also times for where you have to keep your basic ideas, and you have to remain resolute with those.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I do honestly have the type of personality, and I can tell you, dealing with a franchisor who's maybe not the top 500 companies, but top 1,000 companies, let's say, Fortune 1,000 company, that's very difficult sometimes.
Sure.
And so I was put on a board to talk sense to the franchisor, and I didn't get kicked out of the room. I think I got my point across well, gave up some things, and got some things in return for my, brother and sister franchisees. So that's an example about how I can deal with contention, work through it. But you really do have to keep, there's certain things that you could work with maybe, but there's certain core principles that you can't sacrifice. And so I think I can, I know I can do that. I can walk that balance. I really believe so.
And you think that Senator Young is the wrong person for the district as far as business is concerned?
I definitely do. He got a totally low grading. I want to say 13%. of a recently from a group association that basically is pro-business, right. And you know, they can go all the way up to 100%. So he got pretty much a grading as just as bad as somebody from, let's say, the metropolitan area. As a matter of fact, the senator, you know, does broadcast or does promote that he is the most liberal senator outside a metropolitan area. And there's only two metropolitan areas in Maryland. You know, you got your D.C. area and you have Baltimore. Yeah, so he kind of broadcast that. I don't think I'm telling any stories out of school.
No, I don't think so. But what do you have planned for? So, you know, you have, let's take this a step further. You're now in office. What's your first thing that you tackle other than learning the job and things like that?
Yeah, I understand. Well, the first thing would be.
What's the priority?
First thing would be what committee you prefer to be on. Right. So,
right.
I mean, I guess, you know, very early on, I thought the budgeting and taxation committee. But, you know, I'll work. Yeah, as a new guy, you got to go wherever you're needed. But
sure.
I do think I can lend something to the budgeting, the forecasting process, taxation. I have other background also in law enforcement, so judicial proceedings might be something also.
What do you think the biggest hurdle we have right now in the state of Maryland that needs to be tackled?
I think, I still think, even though employment has gotten better, I do believe it is still a business-unfriendly state. I think if you look at the some of the legislation that just happened, the you know, and other legislation that they're putting forth, such as $15 minimum wage, they're putting forth the idea of Ron Young had mentioned a livable wage, which I can't quantify that. So that's that's kind of looking at a moving target. I'm not exactly sure how to quantify that, but it doesn't sound. I mean, would you agree that doesn't sound like something that would be pro-business to say? Necessarily that we're going to have a livable wage, and we can't really quantify that now.
No, it's a nice soundbite.
It does. Business, the biggest thing you have for business is stability.
Right.
Business thing, the biggest thing that a family really wants is stability. When their income comes in every other week or every month, however you get paid, they want to know how much they get paid, how much is going to be taken out of their check, and what they're going to have at the end of the month. And the business is the same way.
Exactly.
That's why it's a logical thing for a family man like myself and a businessman like myself to take both of those sets of values that are really intertwined and really, really go down to Annapolis and really preach those principles. So tax relief, the idea of not taking any more money out of people's paychecks is very, very important to me.
Okay. You know? We left off talking about what you thought were the biggest problems in the state and how you would attack those. And you come to us from a background of a business man, a family man, law enforcement. Frank, you're up. Do you have something there you want to go?
Well, we've gotten past some of the basic questions we ask about the issues.
Sure.
And your. I think you talked a little bit about your background. But Mr. Giagrandi, I think people would think, we're remiss if we don't ask you about what's become kind of controversial in advertising and just in political circles between you and Mr. Shreve as far as what they're hearing about. What the heck is this all about with direct mail and Trump endorsements? And
sure.
And how does this affect the race?
Well, you know what had happened a couple of Tuesdays ago, almost exactly, was that they got some mailers were sent out from the Democrat Senatorial Caucus that had my competitor, my opponent, in a very basically an advantageous way for Republican primary voters. And that's who the mailer was mailed to. And it was kind of like reverse psychology, where this person's so conservative and lumping President Trump with him, we just can't have that down in Annapolis. And so it's actually, believe it or not, and since I've talked to you fellas about this, it's actually a very common type of technique done. Democrats in California do it commonly, and Republicans some places do it also. I'm not going to lie from my research showed. It's done with a purpose to have a particular candidate be the candidate standing in the general election in the fall. Against their candidate. So that would be the person that they would prefer to have to go against. Basically, in this case, that's what was done. There came a time where the mailers just kept coming, and my opponent's response to that was not what my response would have been, where I would have cleared the air, asked them to stay out of the race, and kind of have debate in the marketplace of ideas about what's best for Frederick County, what's best for the state of Maryland. That didn't happen. And actually, there was, came a time where there was an interview on a different radio station, and some things were said, and I did, go select some of those things. There were other things that were said that I did not put on some advertisement that I did. And basically, what happens is the whole tone and tenor of the race took a different juncture, basically a whole different trajectory. And it's a very effective technique. And we were in a situation where we definitely wanted to put our best foot forward, and it became a more robust campaign.
Senator Young's seat is Senator Young's been an incumbent for several terms, but it's not considered an extremely safe seat because prior elections have been very mm-hmm. close. Mm-hmm. And so the Republicans considered to have a good shot at that seat. Do you think after all of this that you would have your supporters congratulate and support your opponent? Do you think your opponent
should he win?
Should he win?
And vice versa. Do you think his supporters would come into line to support you?
Well, I consider Senator Young a formidable candidate, so I would do that, definitely, and I would encourage my supporters to do that. But I don't think we can lose sight of the fact that Mike Miller, the president of the Senate, mm-hmm. a very powerful man, has done something that is not while not illegal, I think it's definitely unethical. I think it is getting one's self interjecting one's party into the other party for a purpose of manipulating it in a negative way. And I don't think that's exactly what I don't think that's the spirit of what American politics should be about.
This would be this would be Miller collusion, then, you're saying?
Well, yeah, definitely interjecting himself in there.
Yeah.
Collusion, I wouldn't think that anybody actually was party to it. Senator Ron Young, while he said it seems like that would be an effective technique, he said he knew nothing about that. And so, I'll take him at his word. But, Mike Miller plays to keep. And if he saw something in me that is something that he would prefer not to deal with in the fall, then that's probably why he did it.
Well, good answer. All right, how do we get a hold of Greg Giagrande if we want to? We only have a day left. I know that's important, but we want to send people to your sites or whatever.
Sure, absolutely.
How do we do that?
So we have a website up that's GiagrandeForSenate.com, and we have a Facebook page that's Craig Giagrande for Maryland Senate on Facebook.
And they can contact the campaign if they want signs or whatever?
Absolutely. Easiest way is the phone number is just my phone number, 301-606-0767.